Cybertruck drivers want you to stop giving them the finger.
Is that right?
Yeah. So there's a video that went viral. Her name is Dr. Angela Kenslow, and she's an Arizona psychologist. Now, she uses her Cybertruck to get to places and people that need help. And she says that the amount of people that give her the finger is ridiculous. And she says she's not making a political statement. Mm-hmm. She's not having anything to do with one side versus the other. She's just found that for what she does, this car is the best car, the Cybertruck.
No, I mean, that's not true for any circumstances. The Cybertruck is not the best car unless you are on Mars or the moon for any circumstance. It's cool.
Yeah.
Some people like it. Some people hate it. It's definitely polarizing. I mean, acting like it stands for something, though, is not necessarily the right thing. I'm sure that she could use another vehicle to get her to help people.
But either way.
I love that. We need the Cybertruck for what exactly?
Right. For the psychologist. What? To get for what? Okay.
They have roads, don't they?
You know, so I think like when you think of a Cybertruck, you think of a certain person that drives it. And it's not nice to play stereotypes. It's not nice to do that. We all know that. But it's true, because there's some cars that you look at and you immediately can kind of guess what the driver is all about.
And
right?
You know what? Even if you're inaccurate, I think that a lot of cars, though, they do have that, right? Where you look at it and you've got a feeling. If I say Hummer, evoke a feeling.
You know what I think of when I think Hummer?
What's up?
Somebody who's overly tan, jacked, and has serious mommy issues.
Gym tan laundry.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
So I looked up the 25 most popular cars sold in America.
Okay.
And I thought I would read some of them to you, and you tell me who's driving that car right now.
Oh, I love this game. Let's go.
Ford F-Series.
Ford F-Series is Mr. Guy with jeans. He's got jeans and a belt, and he's got his T-shirt on, and he's going to work.
But he's also responsible, right?
Yeah, I mean, are we doing psychological breakdowns?
Yeah, well, we can.
Yeah, he's going to pay his bills.
He's a responsible guy.
He has a job.
Mm-hmm. Tesla Model Y.
Oh, is that the
SUV one?
Yeah. I don't know. It looks like a space bubble. It's a mom dropping the kids off at school, I guess.
See, I don't think so. When I think that, I think it's like, gosh, like a 33-year-old guy that thought that this would make him cooler than it actually does.
Yeah.
And now he looks back and he slightly regrets the decision, but he can't admit that he regrets the decision.
Is he asleep? Is he? Because I know that, you know, those ones, they've got that smart drive, right? Like, well, he could just be taking a nap.
I walked out of the doctor's office the other day, and a guy, I guess he thought that the cars next to him were parked too close, where us normal folks would just get into our car and squeeze ourselves in there.
Yeah.
And he reversed the car out while he stood there.
Oh, nice.
And I just stood there in disbelief, and I was like, what is happening?
Right. You know? Like, okay, buddy.
How about a Toyota Camry?
I think that's like probably, used, honestly, to tell you the truth, that they just picked it up. That's an A to B car to me, even though the new ones are pretty sporty and cool looking.
How come I think nurses drive Toyota Camrys? Did I make that up in my mind?
They will run for 200,000 miles easy, I'll tell you that.
Let's pick one more of these and let's stereotype the driver.
Uh-huh.
Jeep Grand Cherokee.
Jeep Grand Cherokee. You know what? I mean, that's super soccer mom. My friend has one of those.
Yeah, I do see soccer moms driving Jeeps.
It's a sexy SUV, though.
Mm-hmm. The art of the pickup line. Is this something just for men, or can women get in on it, too? Joining us, it's matchmaker and dating coach Corinna Alexander. You can find her online at CorinnaAlexander.com. Corinna, welcome back. You know, I think when we talk about Valentine's Day and this time, I think it's really hard for women to initiate conversation with men and to show interest. And I want to know, what do you do if you're in that situation?
Yeah, I actually totally agree it's hard for women, because I don't think it works. I know that there are people that think women should initiate, but I have the philosophy that men pursue women. I think women should be proactive, like go on the dating apps, dress up, go out, ask to be fixed up. But I think men should do the pursuing.
That's interesting to me, because we've had men complain before that they feel like they're a creep if they approach
right.
a woman.
Right. Well, they're just not sure whether or not they're reading the signals right. Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I don't think it has to be super strong. But some guys, I think they probably react a little bit more from an initial engagement, right? But maybe that's not the partner that's right for everybody anyways,
exactly.
too. Because some women, you know, they want to see somebody that's got their confidence, that has enough interest that they're choosing them at that moment, and they're choosing to put themselves out there to make it known.
when it doesn't work for the guy, I think it's maybe not the right woman. The right woman is going to respond to the confidence.
And this might be somebody that you wouldn't consider an option before, but now you see an aspect of them that maybe you hadn't considered.
Totally.
So if you are a woman and you see a guy mm-hmm. like at the gym or wherever mm-hmm. you are, how do you initiate conversation or show interest? Is there other okay. ways to do it besides the, you know, corny pickup line?
I would definitely say don't do the pickup line. Don't approach him because you kind of want to know if he's approaching you. The things you can do are just look good when you go out and go out.
Okay, you get dressed up.
You're hot.
Yeah.
Now, do you dress provocatively or do you dress conservatively? Yeah. Like, how do you show I'm a classy lady, but I'm available and look at this? How do you
Yeah. Not provocatively. I guess just sexy, classy.
And here's the thing, too, is that whether you're dressed conservative, somewhat provocative, or professional or whatever, there's somebody out there that's looking for just that type of person, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's
mm-hmm.
it's not even exactly what you're wearing. It's how you're put together.
So yeah.
There's
right.
a lot of different looks. But, you know, when you see that somebody is kept and put together and so forth, you know, when somebody's looking at you or, you know, notices you in the area, like, you pick up on that, right? There's there's little eyes darting. There's eye glances and stuff.
Exactly.
Like that.
I mean, I know guys, some guys will say, no, it's not easy. But I think it really is. Like, if you like someone, just smile, say something funny, and then a woman will crack up, and then there it is. You're in a conversation. Or you're not, because maybe she brushes you away, but...
Right, the signal is clear at the very least.
So what are our main takeaways here? If you are a single woman and you're out and you see a guy you're interested in, make sure you're dressed the part. If you're starting to get any receptors, they're making eye contact with you, they strike up a conversation, be receptive right away. And one last tip. I'm going to ask you the million-dollar question that I've had with my
yep.
friends for a long time.
Yep.
If you meet a guy, and he's a good guy, but you are not sexually attracted to him, do you continue on with him? Because we have debated this to death. Because I say the answer is yes. A good guy is a good guy, and all that stuff fades with time.
Yep.
And they say that's not true, because if you don't have that initial spark at the beginning, it's never going to work. What do you think?
I would suggest giving him at least 3 dates, at least.
Three dates.
The first date, if you're not feeling it, right. Those other things can happen.
Unless you're absolutely repulsed, and then, of course, don't waste your time.
Well, that's clear enough.
Yeah. Corinna Alexander, you can find her online at CorinnaAlexander.com. What would make your dog win an award? Trending is sponsored by BetterHelp. BetterHelp makes it easy to match with a licensed therapist. Get 10% off your first month of online therapy at BetterHelp.com/Anna and Raven. This happened
for Best in Show at the 149th Annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show. I choose the Giant Schnauzer.
Oh, Monty!
Giant Schnauzer!
Monty!
Best in Show.
3 years, he finally wins Best in Show. Monty the Giant Schnauzer.
Yeah.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah, sometimes I'm not quite sure what it is that they're choosing for the reason that it's won. It's supposed to be the best representation of that breed.
Yeah.
But of course, everybody has their own favorite breed, so you never know what it's going to be from time to time.
My favorite part of watching the dog shows is watching the people run side by side with them in the flats. You ever know? Like, they're always wearing, like, skirts, but they have flats on.
Sensible shoes. I mean, it's
constantly.
Concrete floor with a carpet over it. Yeah. You got to be prepared.
I was thinking about it, though. Like, what makes one dog stand out from the over? Perfect teeth, extra obedient, super agile.
Yeah.
Your dogs, you have two dogs. Mm-hmm. I have one dog. All of our dogs are rescues. So what would make our dog win an award?
Barkley is big on agility, super active. I mean, he's had 2 leg surgeries, and yet he's the best soccer player that I know. I always say that if I was retired, we'd be on television doing those agility courses because he loves that stuff. He's super smart and very active, and he loves to go through tunnels and jump over things. He's a great soccer player.
Lila would definitely win for her impersonations.
No.
Because... she cries like a wolf.
Okay.
Yeah, because, you know, she's constantly begging for food, constantly.
Yeah. That's what you think? To you, that's a wolf?
That's kind of like that. It's like a wolf.
That's hot. All right. All right.
And, I don't know if they give awards for that, but if they did, she'd win it. That's for sure.
Yeah, Baxter would be like... stalker ninja guy. He's very, very quiet, but he is always paying attention to what you're doing. Like, if you're his primary, like, my wife can't go anywhere, do anything. That dog is in her business all the time.
Also trending, more and more schools across the country are banning Crocs. Here's one principal talking about it.
It actually is a safety hazard, man. They can twist the knees, twist the ankles, things like that. So you won't have tennis shoes on all the time. You can't go on a basketball court and go side to side, lateral and jump up now and with Crocs on. It's a safety hazard.
Wait a minute. Are we all requiring all students to go on a basketball court and go side to side now?
Well, I think a lot of elementary school kids have gym very regularly. Okay. So I would understand that they're active. They're at recess.
Now, knee injuries for small kids, though?
Yeah. I mean, there's knee injuries for everybody. That seems a little bit wild. I don't know. I like Crocs. I don't wear them because I'm a grown up. But
you like them from afar.
Well, my kids wear them. My older daughter's a teenager. My little one is 6, and my 6-year-old loves her Crocs. And she would argue that when she's got to run or do something, she puts them in sport mode.
Okay.
Are you familiar with sport mode, Raven?
I had no idea.
So they have like this.
I mean, you can do it like on a transmission on a car. Like it's a little thing that you press. But I don't know about for Crocs.
Very similar to a transmission. Okay. There's a strap that goes along the back.
I've seen the strap.
So you could either fold it forward where you don't have the strap, where they're kind of just like slip-ons,
yes,
where then they would pose risk to injury. But as Dakota would tell you, if she's got to run, she just puts it in sport mode.
Is that
she
right?
She puts the strap behind her heel to secure the Croc.
And that means that speed is ahead.
She's good to go. Good to go.
Did somebody tell this principal?
Yeah. Cupid or stupid? Here's how it works, Raven. You explain something quirky that your significant other does, and then we just get to decide, is it Cupid, very cute, or is it stupid? You know what stupid means.
Right. Yes. There's something that my wife does, actually, is that whenever we dance, she'll start singing the song that's playing to me, like, softly. No matter whether it's a guy or a girl, no matter what the lyrical content is or whatever, she'll start singing it. And it's almost like she doesn't want me to hear it, but yet she's still doing it. She can't help herself.
I think it's Cupid.
Sometimes it's very cute, and then other times it's just kind of like awkward.
Or like, stop singing my ear, babe.
I would imagine
hot breath is in my ear.
I would imagine it's like when you're trying to play a song and people are clapping, but they're clapping off beat, and then you can't get to it.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm already hearing certain maestro in my ears, in my brain, right?
I'm going to say cute. Cupid.
Yeah.
Cupid.
Okay.
Paul, we have cameras in our home and outside our home everywhere.
Yeah.
And a lot of times he'll just come over if I'm like working at the kitchen table and he'll be like, this is God talking to you.
He'll talk to you on the speakers?
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, I pretend that he's God coming from above.
Okay, right. Yeah, because that would fool you.
Right, 100%. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, thank you, Lord. And what is the message? What does he say? Does he say romantic things or he just, that's it?
I want mashed potatoes for dinner.
Oh, okay.
You know, Cupid or stupid?
I mean, I think it's cute.
Yeah, of course
I think it's funny.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mason, how about you? Cupid or stupid?
So my girlfriend, when she thinks I can't hear her, loves to sing to herself, and it's all nonsense. It sounds like some sort of like drunk opera singer warming up or something. It's like, me, 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 me. It's just like complete nonsense.
Did you say she's a singer?
No.
Oh, she's just warming her life up.
And she only when she thinks I can't hear her when she's like in a completely different room.
I think it's kind of cute. I think it's Cupid, right? Or no?
Yeah, of course. Anything like that, it'll appeal to me. I mean, I sing all the time.
Yeah, but you don't go me 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 me.
I may.
Wait, what do they say? What's the B54B5?
It's Sound of Music. You know, you got to sing the song to remember them all.
Oh,
doe, a deer, a female deer, ray,
a drop of golden sun. All right, we're good.
No, too fast. Right.
Yeah, no, we think it's cute.
Yep.
She may continue.
I'm sold on it.
Catherine, how about you? Cupid or stupid? What does your significant other do?
Well, my husband, Brian, likes to think that he's still in really good shape. So whenever we're making breakfast, especially in the weekend where we're like together, have a little bit more time, he'll be like, yo, babe, look at me. And he'll start doing like push-ups against the counter of the kitchen, like doing this like sounds, like, look at how strong I am.
Is that a guy thing? My husband does that too.
What, do you push-ups do that? Against the counter?
You do push-ups. You're like, look at these muscles. Look at these muscles.
You like that?
Oh, yeah. You want to see my 8-pack? You want to see my 6-pack? I'm like,
I did it more when I had more muscles.
Oh. Do you like try to show how masculine you are, like when you're doing kitchen stuff, by how many push-ups you can do?
I can't say that I do regularly, no.
Sometimes Paul will get down in push-up position. He'll be like, Dakota, climb on my back. climb on my back. And then he'll see how like how many push-ups he can do with her on her back. It's a lot less than it used to be.
You know, the funny thing is when I'm trying to do like jobs or tasks or anything around the house, I'm actually always looking for the first way that I can sit while doing it. You know, like I'm like, oh, can I operate this thing on the floor? Yeah, that's what I'm going to do.
I think it's Cupid. I think it's a fun quirk, and I think it's cute, and it's part of your relationship, and it's him showing you how attractive he is.
Exactly. I think it's really cute, too.
Still trying to fire you up.
Yeah, like the Tarzan thing, like beating the chest.
I see it.
Cupid or stupid? What does your partner do that's quirky? We'll decide. Cupid or stupid? What is something quirky that your partner does? And now we're just going to decide. Is it cute, Cupid, or just, you know, plain stupid?
I know that there's something that drives my wife nuts, and I have a certain refrain that I always give to her to it when she makes a comment about it. So I'll wash the dishes, but I won't empty the strainer half the time in the sink. And she always tells me, just lift the food in there, though. Just leave this stuff in there. I say, you know what? Someday you're going to miss that.
You think in any world that's cute? The fact that you just leave the gross part for her to do?
No, that someday that she'll miss it.
That's stupid. All right, Jason, how about you?
But let me tell you, I'm in a relatively new relationship after being single for a little while. We've been together like 4 months now. But during that time when I was single, my dog got very, very needy. And so whenever I go to give my girlfriend attention, he whines and he cries because I'm not giving attention to him. And so what she's taken to doing is she now, if he starts crying or if I'm giving him attention, she'll cry to kind of get back at him. Sometimes she'll even be down on all fours right next to him crying and whining. And I think it's kind of cute, but I don't know what everybody else would think.
Fake crying for your dog?
Oh, I love it. And I think that like makes you endeared to the dog, too.
I mean, as a mom, I've done the fake crying to get the reaction out of the kids.
Sure.
To show emotion and all of that. I actually cried for real the other day when my Dakota wrote on the tabletop with Sharpie.
Oh, no.
I can't.
You like, just fixed the table.
I just finished
chairs.
The cushions. And yeah. And I cried for real. And she put her hand on my back and she said, it's okay to cry, mommy. It makes you feel better. And I was like, I mean, an apology. Sorry, mommy, that I ruined your table. It would have been a good start. But she was like, no, get it all out, mom. So I don't.
Custom table.
Yeah.
That took 3 times to get right.
You see why I cried? Anyway. I think the fake crying works. I don't know if it works for dogs. So I would say Cupid, kind of cute, right?
I agree. Wow.
I'm upset for you on that table.
No,
I know what you went through for that table.
It's okay, mommy. Let your emotions out. It's okay to cry. I'm like, put the Sharpie down.
I mean, you need to take them away.
I can't, there has to be a no Sharpie rule in my house.
Yes.
Yes.
God.
I'm like, I'm gonna see ya. It's been a curse since day one.
All right, Jen, Cupid or stupid, what's your partner do?
Well, whenever he's done something that's kind of a little aggravating or annoying, like he obviously knows me well. So when he knows he's in the doghouse, it's when he seems to mysteriously get sick. So that he needs some reason for me to baby him and nurture him so that it distracts me from being upset. I kind of find it to be a little manipulative.
I think it's stupid, but I don't understand. Like, somebody's sick, and all of a sudden now your husband is sick, too. And, oh, they got a runny nose. Now I have a runny nose. Oh, they have a bellyache. Now I have a bellyache. And
I mean,
trying to get the sympathy. It's like, well, I know I did something wrong, but you should feel bad for me because I don't feel well.
Yeah, smoke and mirrors. Not cool. It's a little game. I'll tell you what's also not cool, though, is when you are actually sick and get whatever it is that your partner has given to you or whatever, and that person's discounting it like it's no big deal. Theirs was such a big deal when they had it, but now that you got it, you're lying. Come on. You just gave it. We're sitting right next to each other in this house. Of course I have what you had.
Right.
Why is it any less bad or whatever? Oh,
this sounds personal, Raven.
Anna and Raven's Cupid Cameo.
You complete me.
I want the fairy tale.
Cupid's Cameo. You went to annaandraven.com, told us about your loved one, and we're going to make you a free video. Last week, we checked in with Paula.
Paula, tell us about Thomas.
I wish I could tell you the whole story because it's pretty funny, but he's just a really, really great guy. He takes care of his mom. He takes care of me. I am an insane extrovert. And I will do absolutely anything to get a laugh out of people. Uh-huh. And he just puts up with everything that I make him do. I sent Anna a picture of us at a Christmas in July party, and I made him get dressed up in Santa Claus clothes in July.
But you say that he's an introvert, you said. My husband and I are kind of similar in that way. And I always say that that's good because it's both sides of the coin.
Well, I mean, as long as you can flip it, right? So that's the great thing is that, you know, it takes a special kind of person to deal with an extrovert all the time, right? And you recognize that. And Thomas, that is a big deal.
He puts up with a lot.
Yeah. Well, tell us about this history there. So, I mean, you know each other for 20 years.
We met through mutual friends, and he had a nickname, Tommy the Woman Hater. That's what I called him.
I called him
because he was always grumpy and he was always grouchy. And as an extrovert, Anna, you know, when you meet people, you want to be their friends.
Yeah.
You want everybody to love you and you want everybody to be your friend. So I was like, hi, be my friend. Like me, be my friend. And he was always like, get away from me. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. I don't want you near me. And I always called him Tommy the Woman Hater.
Oh, my gosh.
So about a year and a half ago, our mutual friends were having a party. And I said, will there be any single guys there? And they said, well, yeah, Thomas will be there. I said, great. Fantastic. I'm so excited. I can't wait to get there. And he was kind of flirting with me. And I didn't understand what was happening because I had always known him as this grouchy, grumpy, get away from me kind of guy.
Yeah.
And at the end of the night, our mutual friend came over and said, you know, Thomas wants to get to know you better. I said, he's known me 20 years. What does he want? My favorite color? What is there to know? I don't understand. Yeah. And she's like, no, stupid. He wants to get to know you better. And I was like, yeah, okay, you're totally lying to me. And you're just telling me this to make me feel better. And it turned out a few days later, he texted me because she called him and threatened him because he hadn't taken my number at the party. So it all worked out in the end.
And now it's happily ever after.
You know,
let's hope so.
So what, you know what? Did you ever ask him about that after? What was his explanation for being that way? Because
I torture him about it all the time.
Yeah.
We'll be, you know, because I watch a lot of stupid Hallmark movies, and I'll go, see, that could have been us. if you hadn't been so dumb, that could have been us. And he's like, well, you could have asked me out too. And I'm like, you were grumpy. I wasn't going near you. So,
well, I mean,
I torture him all the time about it.
As a guy, I think to myself, like, maybe you intimidated him then.
I probably did.
My wife and I, we always say it's a good thing we didn't know each other when we were kids because we would have blown it up. Sometimes you're just too early. So maybe he just wasn't ready yet.
He was with other people. I was with other people.
Yeah.
The stars aligned and we finally, you know, we're making it work. And I'm super happy. I don't think I've ever been happier in my entire life.
Oh, I love that.
That's so great.
Well, Paula, here's your cameo for Thomas.
Hello, Thomas. Or shall I call you?
Tomas.
Tom. Paula loves you.
Yep.
She loves you so much that she wanted us to make a video for you. I'm Anna. This is Raven. We're the Anna and Raven Show. Happy Valentine's Day. She wants you to know that she knows how lucky she is that you finally got your head out of your asked her out a year and a half ago after knowing her for 20 years. Not only do you take care of her, you take care of your mother because you're a caring, loving person.
Congratulations, Thomas, because that is the most free I've ever heard Anna while saying a cuss word in my entire life. Congratulations. Happy Valentine's Day. Paula loves you.
What are you congratulating
him on? I'm congratulating him on being a good guy.
All right.
And Paula loves him.
All right.
You won.
Tom, Thomas, Tommy, happy Valentine's Day from the Anna and Raven Show.
Anna and Raven's Cupid Cameo.
You complete me.
I want the fairy tale.
Cupid's Cameo. You submitted at annaandraven.com what you love about your significant other, and now we're making free videos for them for Valentine's Day. Jessica, tell us all about Caleb.
He's pretty awesome with all the animals that we have. Takes good care of the house and the property and everything.
Mm.
You didn't even write that you guys had pets when you submitted for him. You wrote that he loves going to the gym and working out.
Yeah. So how many pets do you have? What tell us about your pets.
Four dogs. There's a husky, a pit bull, and two German shepherds.
Okay. I mean, those are big dogs. Those are like active working dogs. So, like, I mean, if he's taking care of them, like, he's busy.
Yes. And then we have two cats.
Bravest cats on the planet. Those four dogs in the house. Bravest cats on the planet.
But mainly, he's always at the gym when he's not with the animals.
Yeah.
So,
I mean, listen, you could be out running around doing a bunch of dumb stuff with your life, right? I mean, if you're taking care of your family, if you're taking care of your partner, if you're taking care of your animals, and I include them with the family too, and taking care of yourself so that you can keep on doing it, like, that's a pretty good plan.
Yes, I agree.
Now, Jessica, you said that a special memory you guys had together is you went to Disney World back in September. What was your favorite part about it?
We did the Drink Your Own the World in Epcot, which was pretty cool to see all the different things also in the different countries.
Yeah. How far did you make it?
We actually made it all the way through.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
By the end, it was definitely interesting.
Yeah, messy.
Yes, exactly.
My trip ended at Mexico. I had to come back the next day.
Mexico's like the first one, like the second one.
No, I went the other way.
Oh, you started in Canada? Yeah,
okay.
I started over in Canada.
Mexico was right at the beginning.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I went against the grain. I'm a salmon. I was swimming upstream.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so it also says that Caleb makes great eggs. What's the best kind of eggs?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, how do you take your eggs?
Sunny side up. So I am so picky with my eggs. Mm-hmm. If the yolk is popped, I most of the time won't eat it because then it's not as good. Mm-hmm. So he never pops the yolk, which is a great talent because I can't not pop the yolk.
Yeah.
How do you see you like a little bit runny? Are we talking like over easy, over medium, over hard?
Definitely runny. So yeah, over easy.
Yeah, yep. Over medium, maybe. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, maybe. I'll take that.
I'm with you. Don't crack it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to get
just
that
made
cameo.
Me hungry. He sounds great.
Here you go, Caleb. Here is your cameo video from Jessica.
Hello, Caleb. This message is going to be filled with love.
This is a message of love.
That's what it is. And Jessica reached out to us, and she had about three things to say about you, and we're going to share with you.
Let's highlight those.
What those three things are.
He loves to go to the gym.
And work out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not just one of those guys that goes to the gym and just hangs around.
No.
And is just like a weirdo or a creep or something like that. No, he's there for business.
And you work out.
Good job.
She also said you went to Disney World back in September. She didn't say whether or not you had fun, but I'm going to guess it was a fantastic time.
What's the most romantic spot at Disney World?
Being right under the castle, I would guess.
Okay, yeah, that's a nice spot. Yeah. I like the boardwalk is nice. Yeah.
I hope you kissed beneath the castle.
That's deeply personal.
Yeah.
But I hope so as well. Fantastic.
It also says you make the best eggs.
And you're a great dog dad, and I love that.
I would love to know more about your dog, but unfortunately, Jessica didn't tell us more about your dog.
I'm wearing my Valentine's dog socks, as a matter of fact.
Oh, that's nice.
This is Baxter right here. He's nice.
I wonder if Jessica's going to get Caleb some dog socks.
You know what? It's a great gift idea, actually. Just upload the photo, and then it happens real easy.
Yeah. That's all we know about you, Caleb.
Mm-hmm.
But we do know that Jessica cares very much about you, loves you, and would love for you to have a happy Valentine's Day.
With eggs and dog kisses.
And going to the gym.
Do you think if you are single that you are hotter than other people?
No. I guess everything is eye of the beholder. So I guess to some people, there's that whole division of people that they're attracted to people that are involved with other people. There's that too.
I was surprised by this because it's top three things, best part of being single. Mm. And number one on the list is that you're hotter. You're hotter when you're single. And I was like,
seems like maybe a journalist is thinking of somebody and having a vision when they're writing that article, maybe. I'm not sure.
I will say this, as terrible as it sounds, is that when I think about my single friends, they're a lot better put together when we go places than I am.
Well, they've got more invested in it because they've got more to win or lose with that. I mean, that makes sense, right? They're more focused on the fact of trying to attract other people.
I've already trapped my husband, so I don't care about putting on makeup anymore. That's not the right way to think either.
You're not the first person who's ever said that out loud.
Okay.
I know people that have said that.
All right. So other top two things, the best part of being single, besides you're hotter than everybody else. Number two, you don't have to consider someone else's feelings. I mean, really?
Planning with somebody, like, let me tell you, I get myself in trouble saying this out loud, but I'm going to compare it to family vacations, okay? All right, listen, you love your family, right? You love to travel with them and have shared experiences with them. Think about what a pain it is when you want to go to dinner. You're trying to decide what you want to do for dinner and nobody else can agree. Somebody's always late. Blah, blah, blah. Somebody's going to take 3 hours to eat a meal that you could have been done within 52 minutes. Like, that drives me nuts.
What does that have to do with considering someone's feelings?
You wouldn't have to consider any of that if you didn't care about how anybody around you felt or whatever. You wouldn't have to consider that at all. It wouldn't bother you.
And the top, number three of the best part of being single is you have so many more good stories to share. Why? Once you're in a relationship, you stop living your life? I don't know. I don't agree with any of these. I think you're always considering other people's feelings. I think if you're hot, you're just hot. Doesn't matter if you're in a relationship or not.
Mm.
And I think that if you're out living your life, you've got a good story to tell. But if you are single, what do you think is the best part? Brianna.
Not having to share my snacks.
Go ahead.
I can do whatever I want. We don't have to compromise about anything. If I want to watch something on television, I don't have to watch football with you. I don't have to watch basketball. I can literally do whatever I want. And definitely, I do not have to give you my Lindor truffles, because those are my favorite.
Is there anything worse than coming home and you're really looking forward to leftovers in the fridge, and then you open the fridge and you realize your significant other has eaten them?
Yeah.
And you're just like...
Pretty terrible.
What? I've been waiting all day for that pizza, but okay.
Yeah,
all right.
It feels like the ultimate betrayal. Dessert's the same.
Yeah.
If you're counting how many M&Ms are left in the bag together, then you guys should have got more. I've got an adjacent problem to this, is that my wife and I were both snackers, right? And if I suggest a snack, I know if I put it in her ear, like that snack's going to pop up in the next few days because she'll start craving it too. Mm-hmm. But here's the problem. Then when I go to reach into the snack, it's like she's counting. It's like she knows how much of that snack I'm having.
Oh.
And she says she's doing it for my health so I don't drop dead.
Yeah.
But she could also be doing it for her own greed.
Yeah.
And if you don't have somebody around to do that, there's nobody there to watch you and be like, wait a minute, that's your third pound of peanut M&Ms.
Well, that's like me in my house, because I buy a lot of the snacks that the kids like and that my husband like, but then it's an interrogation. Who ate an entire sleeve of Oreos last night?
Right.
There was all these Oreos were there, and now they're... And 9 times out of 10, it's my husband. It's always him.
Yeah, but he doesn't want to have to answer that, and he definitely doesn't want to have to testify in front of the kids. That's embarrassing.
That's why we call him the Cookie Monster.
Oh, man.
Best part of being single, top three list, is you have so many more good stories to share.
Mm.
Number two is you don't have to consider anyone else's feelings. And number one, you're hotter. I think I disagree with every single one of these, but then again, I'm not single.
Yeah, I mean, and you never really experienced it for a certain length of time, right? So I think that a lot of these things on this list also would depend on who your partner is, right? Because some partners have no input on what it is that you're doing on a daily basis anyways. Other people, they're very involved in your decisions.
What do you think is the actual best part of being single? Dylan?
Best part of being single is cheap. The most expensive hobby is having a girlfriend. So
amen.
I love it.
Amen.
I got cheap hobbies and I get to save money.
Like Anna, you've been married since college.
Yeah.
He was frat and you were sorority before that. So it's not like you were living together until you were actually involved.
I've never lived by myself.
Dang, it is cheap when you live by yourself when you're not dating anybody, especially if you ain't living by yourself. You got a good, like, living situation and you're still at home? Oh, you're just raking cash.
Yeah.
You're raking cash.
I wouldn't
You can
know.
Do whatever you want.
Absolutely. I never eat out
I'm about
by
to
myself.
Say, yeah, if it was just me at home
never.
Without the kids and without my husband,
yeah.
I would just eat, like, some Brussels sprouts every night, maybe, like, a couple chicken tenders. Like, that would be it. Bowl of cereal if
then you
I could.
Go to bed.
That's it.
Yeah.
Some nights I'd just be like, I'm not even hungry. I'll just go to bed.
And you got no plans on Friday, Saturday night. If you're doing something, you're doing it just by yourself.
Amen.
Rebecca, quickly tell us, best part about being single.
You're spending. You can spend whatever you want. Nobody's going to complain. Nobody's going to make fun of you.
Right.
Amazon
right.
packages show up at your door. Nobody cares.
5 times a day, if you want to. Right. Like, you can save every dime and buy nothing, or you can buy everything and have it be ridiculous, and nobody's there for judgment.
Nobody's there to judge you. It's fantastic.
Colin, best part of being single.
That's easy. That is leaving the bathroom door open when you use the bathroom.
Or you've been married long enough, you also leave the bathroom door open.
My wife tells me that's a no-no. She says it removes the sexy.
Oh, really?
That's what she says.
Oh, my door is always open. Yeah. I have kids. They just come in.
Well,
they
walk
have no
in.
Respect.
That's different.
Yeah. I've stopped closing it. One time I left the downstairs door open and the landscaper walked by. And I like, had to like lunge. I was like ah!
He walked by outside or walked by in
outside,
the house?
Outside.
Yeah,
the
but you can
right
see
there.
The window.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's how ours is too, if it's aligned just right.
Yeah. I was like, whoa, I didn't know you were here.
Right.
That was, I guess that taught me a lesson.
You stand at just the right angle at the end of my driveway, you can see right into one of the bathrooms.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Leslie, how about you? What's the best part of being single?
The best part is definitely having all the space in the world in my home to just, you know, have my hobbies lying around. Like when I'm in a relationship, I feel like I have to share that space, and I love to pick up, like, I'll start playing the guitar and then I'll leave the guitar there, or I'll start painting and I'll leave all my canvas lying around. And I don't have to, like, pick them up because there's no one there. So I just have the freedom to take up all the space I want.
That is nice. And be able to put things where you want it to go and they don't disappear the next day, too.
Some people might call that laziness or hoarding, but whatever.
No big deal. Just inspiring the next generation of radio stars, producer Julie.
Prepare yourself to learn something, which is great, right?
Producer Julie, when you accepted this position, I made you a promise. Mm-hmm. I promised you that I was going to teach you absolutely everything I know. What I didn't think was that I was going to have to teach you this. Mm. So now, if you missed it last week, we were talking about the Super Bowl and who was going to be in Taylor Swift's suite, and people were taking guesses, and Julie was reading some of the guesses, and this is what she said.
So since Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds are maybe not going to be there with her, we have Paul Rudd and Zoe Kravitz.
Kravitz. Are you serious?
I'm sorry.
Wow. Did you hear what she just said?
Yeah.
First of all, it's Zoe Kravitz.
Yeah.
Kravitz.
Wow. All right. Sound it out.
Julie.
Don't go there.
Do you know who her parents are?
No.
Okay.
She's a Divergent actress. I got that.
Oh, my God.
So wait a minute. We didn't even get to the part that she called him Paul Rudd.
It's true. She is.
Yes, she
was one of the actors in that movie, but okay.
Right. All right. So Zoe Kravitz and Paul Rudd. We're going to talk about them because Julie doesn't know who they are. All right, so you've created a book report.
Yes. I've done an in-depth research project on them both.
Okay, who would you like to start
with? This is an oral presentation here.
Yes, mm-hmm. On Paul Rudd.
Uh-huh.
He was in Friends, which I didn't realize. He was also in Batman and Ant-Man, but I know him as being Mr. Anderson in Perks of Being a Wallflower.
Interesting that those were the ones that you gravitated to.
Yeah, I pulled towards those, but I bet you guys didn't know this. I'm going to engage you here. He was a disc jockey, which stands for DJ, which I also didn't know. And he did.
What? Julie. Okay.
Don't say that
so
one out loud.
So I learned that. He did that at bar mitzvahs and bat mitzvahs before his career took off.
That's so great.
Yeah.
You know what? I didn't know that he was a DJ.
Look, we're all learning today.
We all learned something. That's like, good job.
Yeah.
So
right.
Now we have some information on Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, okay.
As mm-hmm. well here.
Yeah. Where are we going?
So she was a ton of action movies like X-Men, First Class, Divergent, as I've said.
Yeah, thank you.
Mad Max, Fury Road, and The Batman. Time named her.
She's Catwoman in The Batman. I mean, like, she's.
Those are the ones that
she's
stood
out. Big deal in it.
Not, did like, you know that she was named one of the 100 most influential men and women, actually people,
yeah.
in 2022 mm-hmm. by Time? And there was some relationship tea with her new movie, Blink Twice, with Channing Tatum.
Right.
She dumped him.
They were engaged.
They broke off.
But you mentioned her father, Lenny Kravitz.
Yeah. Yes. Oh.
I have some information. I still don't know who he is, really.
Right.
Okay.
But
right.
I knew
the guy that works out in leather pants.
I knew I recognized him because he was in Hunger Games.
Okay.
I mean, here's right.
he was.
Yes. No, he. Yeah, he was. All right.
Lenny.
I mean, that book report wasn't so great, but okay.
I mean, if I had
he's
to
got
give
like
it,
he's got at least like 5 Grammys. I mean, like, he's a big deal.
I feel like I know one of his songs, but I don't know.
Yeah, no idea.
This one's a good one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's one of them. No, yeah. You don't know it. She's bobbing her head.
Da-na-na.
See, it's times like this when I start thinking to myself.
Oh my God.
I'm like, how does she not know more about Lenny Kravitz? But then I think, she doesn't need to. Why?
It's over.
It's over. Why does she need to know about Lenny?
I mean, Lenny Kravitz still is holding up all right. But you're right. I mean, for most of these instances, these other people, she might not need to know. Lenny
right.
Kravitz is not aging at the same rate as everybody else.
You know what? You're good.
I'm fine.
You don't need to know who Lenny Kravitz is. You can move on with your life. I think you did a great job.
We're
going to
give her a passing grade on that, too.
Congratulations.
Okay. All right, Julie.
One couple.
At 28, he's still exactly the same.
I get what she's saying, and I mean, I'm not proud of it or anything.
One problem.
Marty is just one of those really picky eaters.
You decide the outcome.
I mean, I'm not going to not go out to eat with my husband, but I guess I don't really have a choice, so.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day we check in with a couple. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and then it's up for you to decide who's right. Powered by NHTSA, crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers.
That's where driver assistance technologies come in. New features that have the potential to save lives.
Learn more at nhtsa.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Chris and Taylor. Taylor, what's going on?
We recently got married. And, you know, that's your day. It's special. It was beautiful.
only to find out, though, that my sister's boyfriend, like, proposed to her. They didn't, like, make a spectacle of it. Like, so it wasn't like everybody knew, but I knew, our parents knew.
But at your wedding? Still, at your wedding?
Yes. And I feel as though he could have proposed, you know, when they got home. He could have done it the next day. But why did you have to pick that particular moment to do it? Like, that's not even special for her. That's my day. And it's not hers. And I want to call my parents. They knew. And I want to tell them all about themselves. It's my day. And I don't appreciate that they took away from that by making it hers, too.
When did you find out? During the wedding, during the reception, or after?
I knew it was, like, when it happened, afterwards.
Yeah.
But I didn't really respond, like, at the wedding. I didn't show out, you know, there. But it's still the point of the matter.
But what can they really do? Apologize? What?
Apologize for something. Like, don't do it again. Don't, at my baby shower, don't pop up and say you're pregnant.
Yeah.
Let's not let this repeat itself.
Chris, what's your side of this?
I get it, you know, but they didn't make a big deal out of it. They didn't make a big spectacle out of it. To be honest, I mean, you know, I didn't even know until you told me later on. It's kind of tacky, but to me, it wasn't that big of a deal.
Taylor, it was your sister. She didn't know what was happening, but clearly your parents knew. So this was a decision her fiancé made, asked your parents for permission. They said go for it, but they didn't do it in front of everybody. They did it privately at your wedding?
Privately, after we cut the cake, when I heard it happen.
Like outside by the fountain? Like, what?
You know, I didn't really ask for details because I wasn't really interested. I just know they told me after the fact that, you know, that it happened.
Yeah, but this
I mean, they
my
didn't
point.
Make a
spectacle
like,
you're getting
of it.
Upset.
It wasn't like
you're getting upset.
Everybody knew.
Like, there's no reason to get upset. We didn't know. So what's there to get upset about, you know?
I do get, if it didn't disrupt you, you only found out after once you were informed that it didn't really disrupt you, then what's the big deal? On the other hand, it's your wedding. It is tacky. And your parents knew that and endorsed that. You know, I don't know how much groveling they can do, but somebody should acknowledge the fact that it was your day. People get caught up at weddings. Some people, they feel very romantic at weddings, but obviously he came with a ring. It's an intention he had.
It was planned. If he asked for permission and the parents knew, like, that's not a feel it in the moment, let me do this. That's premeditated that we're going to get engaged. I mean, I feel bad for your sister, Taylor, because kind of this isn't her fault. Has she said anything about it? Has she apologized? Or
She didn't really. I mean, acknowledge it enough where I'm not really as mad at her, per se. Like you said, it's kind of like the parents. She mentioned it, but she didn't even really blow it up. It was kind of like, oh my gosh, I didn't know he was going to be doing this kind of thing. So she was definitely shocked also. I do have a decent relationship with my sister, so I didn't want to be like, you know, just terrible by making her feel bad about her special moment. But I did kind of feel like, you know, my parents could have done a little bit. Our parents could have done. They could have handled that differently. They could have persuaded him to do it the next day or anything else besides that.
All right, so the question is, does Taylor have the right to confront her parents and her soon-to-be brother-in-law and say, hey, what you did wasn't right, you're upset about it? Or at this point, do you just let it go? It's over. If your immediate family member, your sister, got engaged at your wedding, would you congratulate her and be so excited? Or would you be like, what, are you serious? This is my wedding.
Well, it's important to note here that even though that this did take place at Taylor and Chris's wedding, Taylor's sister was not aware that she was going to be proposed to. All right. Her fiance obviously had a plan to do this, but her parents were aware and did not mention it to Taylor, who was the bride.
And she's so upset about it. She wants to confront her parents and she wants to let them know, including her sister's fiance, and say what you did was wrong. You shouldn't have done that.
Mm-hmm.
Chris's argument is they did it privately. They did it after we cut the cake. Nobody saw. The only people that knew were immediate family members afterwards. But why are we going to make a big deal? It's not like it disrupted our day.
Yeah, I didn't know until you told me, basically, is his point.
Yeah, what do you think? Maria?
Oh, I'm on her side. What in the world is that? And why would the parents even agree to something like that? She has every right to be upset, and she should call them out on it so something like that never happens again.
It does seem like one of those things that if you're unaware as a younger couple, which you may be, your parents should definitely understand that etiquette would dictate that you would never do something like that.
I bet. What were they thinking, the parents? Like, oh, this is going to be so beautiful. This is going to be so great. Oh, look at our babies.
I got to be honest. I think that they were thinking that it's great for them. Oh, remember that time at your wedding when the other one got engaged? It's less things for them to remember, I suppose.
But
I don't know.
What are you going to do? Just make your parents feel uncomfortable and start your marriage off with drama with your in-laws? How exciting. Your sister just got engaged. Except it happened at your wedding. Is that a problem?
Right after you cut the cake.
I mean, but here's the thing. Nobody saw Raven. All right, so Taylor and Chris are having a disagreement. They just had their wedding not too long ago, and her sister got engaged to her boyfriend at the wedding. Mm-hmm. Now, keep in mind, it wasn't a big spectacle. It was done privately, and Taylor is happy for her sister, but mad. Mad because her parents, one, let this happen. They knew that it was going to go down. And two, she's mad at the fiance because what are you doing? This is my wedding.
Yeah, listen, I mean, the fiance might just be an idiot, right? Like, let's cut to the chase here. And Chris is like, obviously it's tacky. He's like, but you know what? I didn't know until you came over and told me at the wedding. I was unaware. Here's the thing that bothers me a lot, right? Like, number one, the parents knew, like you said, but it could have went really public. Right? Like, nobody knew. But what if one person had seen that happening and said, oh my gosh, and everybody turned around and stopped and went after it? Like, it would have been a very big deal. And it happened right after they cut the cake. That's usually where the parent dances happen. So, Dad, where's Dad?
All right.
Oh, Dad's busy because there's a proposal going on over there? I don't know.
Taylor wants
to former wedding DJ. I'm like, nope, I'm against that.
Taylor wants to confront the parents, her parents, but Chris says just let it go. It's over now. What do you think? Victoria, whose side are you on?
I'm on the wife's side. I think it was more where it's like up, like you're trying to up one another, you know? So she's like, hey, I got engaged at the wedding. And then, like, you know, God forbid she gets pregnant. She's like, hey, I'm pregnant. And, you know, I announced it at the baby shower. You know, I feel like it's like a kind of like a competition, you know? I don't want the wife to feel like that, you know?
It's interesting that you mention that because obviously Taylor relayed the exact same fear of make sure that this isn't going to take place again moving forward. So I wonder what the history here is, right? Like, she said she didn't really blame her sister, but is this the way it's been their whole lives? Because, you know, some people, they have siblings like that.
Yeah. It's like, who's like, you're up here, I'm down here, you know, type thing. So it's like always trying to, like, beat one another.
Liz, what do you think?
I'm on the husband's side. Of course it's tacky. Of course it's kind of, like, taboo. Like, who does really does that? But it's a day of love, and it's supposed to be just about, like, love and growing family. And it's like, who really cares? Nobody's going to take the day away from the new bride. It's her day, obviously. But it's something, like, little to add. Like, oh, my God, my sister just got engaged. How exciting. Now we're going to get ready for another wedding. But, of course, it's tacky.
Well, a fair point is that it is over and everybody survived.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Taylor, our audience agreed with you today. It is messed up. It does bother you. You feel like you were wronged, and you have every right to let them know that you feel that it was inappropriate what they did.
Well, I'm glad that they agree, because my feelings were kind of hurt, and I just don't want us to have this kind of thing, like, going on. You know, for, like I said, I'm going to have a baby one day, and I don't want you telling me you're pregnant at my baby shower. You know, there's a time and place. Everyone should have their own day. So thank y'all for agreeing.
Yeah, I don't understand why they'd sign off on that, you know? Like, I mean, it's convenient for them, but for nobody else. Sorry, Chris. It might get awkward, this conversation.
Hey, you know what? He's kind of a corny guy. My future brother-in-law here, so I'm not that surprised. But what can you do? Some people aren't that creative.
All right. If you have a problem, too, send an email. couplescore@annaandraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Be Raven cash jackpot is $7,100. All right, Michael, you're up. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, can you leave the room, please?
You got it. Good luck, man. $7,100.
Thank you.
All right, here we go. Raven's walking out of here. That door is going to close. He's not going to be able to hear us. We're in a soundproof studio. Michael, I'm going to ask you 5 pop culture questions. Remember, you only have 3 seconds to answer each one. Take a guess if you don't know. I'll bring them back in. Ask them the same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready to play?
Yep, ready.
Number one, according to a poll, the Budweiser commercial featuring what type of horse was America's favorite of the big game this past Sunday?
Clydesdale.
Number two, Green Day is producing a coming-of-age comedy inspired by their own memories of touring in a van. It's called New Year's Rev. What was the name of the rock musical based on a Green Day album?
American Idiot.
Number three, as seen during the Super Bowl commercials, the new Lilo and Stitch movie is coming out this May. Stitch is also known as Experiment What?
X.
Number four, Samuel L. Jackson was an integral part of Kendrick Lamar's halftime show. Who did he play in the Star Wars prequel trilogy?
He was the purple Jedi.
Pass.
And number five, Nike released an ad celebrating the Eagles' Super Bowl win, and it's set to "It's Not Easy Being Green." People think it's an insult to Patrick Mahomes because he sounds like the singer of that song. Who's that?
Not easy being green. Oh, Kermit the Frog.
All right, let me bring Raven back in.
Ew.
Okay, 3 out of 5.
Not great, not terrible. Let's see how I do.
Number one, according to a poll, the Budweiser commercial featuring what type of horse was America's favorite of the big game this past Sunday?
Clydesdale.
That's right. Number two, Green Day is producing a coming-of-age comedy movie inspired by their own memories of touring in a van. It's called New Year's Rev. It's basically based on what they went through when they were recording Dookie and trying to get Dookie out. What was the name of the rock musical based on the Green Day album?
American Idiot.
American Idiot. I loved it. You know, I'm a big Green Day fan.
I know you are.
That musical. It was great. It was so nice. Number three. As seen during the Super Bowl commercials, the new Lilo and Stitch movie is coming out this May. Stitch is also known as Experiment What?
Is it number 626?
What is it?
626.
What is your final answer?
Is it Experiment 626?
626. Yeah.
I mean, I thought I said that 3 times.
You said, okay. 626.
Yeah, that's the same numbers.
No, it's not how they say it.
Okay.
Number four, Samuel L. Jackson was an integral part of Kendrick Lamar's halftime show. Who did he play in the Star Wars prequel trilogy?
He's not, is it, it's not Unduku. Count, no, because Count Dooku's the bad guy. I know this. I'm going to be mad. Never mind.
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu, yep.
Number five, Nike released an ad celebrating the Eagles' Super Bowl win, and it's set to "It's Not Easy Being Green," and people think it's an insult to Patrick Mahomes because he sounds like the singer of that song.
It's a little innuendo. Kermit the Frog.
Kermit the Frog is correct. All right, I'm sorry, Michael. He beat you 4-3 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Michael, and I can't be Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, bro. $7,200 tomorrow, Anna.
I wonder if it is an insult. I wonder if they did that on purpose. I can't imagine that they would, right? Nike's not going to do that. I want to thank Mandy and Priya. They supplied two of the questions I used today. If you have an idea for question 2, head to annaandraven.com.